Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
We would like to thank the Video Game Timeline Show for sponsoring Budget Arcade. Did you know back in the late 70s, Atari made a stand-up football arcade game that was played completely with the trackball? How about a first-person shooter made in 1973 where you play as an eyeball and you wander around a Vectrex world? This hobby we love has been around for 50 years, and you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. So I do recommend you check out the Video Game Timeline Show, where Jack and Evan will take you through the weird, the fun, and the interesting that the video game industry has to offer. You can listen to their podcast wherever you find your favorite shows, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora. I recommend you start with the episode called Football and Fire Truck. Since Jack and Evan are from the UK, they aren't familiar with the rules of American football, and it's fun to hear them try to figure out how to play an American football game with nothing but a trackball. So that's the Video Game Timeline Show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The following podcast is not affiliated with the developers who have created the games being reviewed. The reviews are solely the opinions of the hosts to be used to make an educated decision on what games to download and play.
Hello, gamers, and welcome to Budget Arcade, the number one free-to-play gaming podcast in the world. I'm Scott.
I'm Jeff. Heyo, Mark.
And welcome to episode number 87.
Didn't look it up. Oh, okay.
No, I didn't look it up.
How confident
sure
are you in that?
7, though. I don't know. Maybe slightly confident?
Yeah, okay.
Nope, it's 84.
There you go.
All right, episode 84. Just to recap, we play a free-to-play game every other week, and then we rate and review it. Mark, what was this week's game?
So this week we played League of Legends Wild Rift, developed
played Wild Rift. What? I've been playing Geometry Dash Meltdown.
Oh, you have to bleep that out, Scott. I'm sorry. I played the wrong game. Damn it.
You didn't even play that game, though.
No, nobody played Geometry Dash.
Oh, that's a great game. Should we just review it?
No, I meant Wild Rift.
Should we just give it a quick rundown? Gameplay. All right. Well, what was it? Geometry Dash. You are a cube, and you jump over things, and it's a one-button game. And so you jump over things, and you collect 3 coins along the way that are extra. They're bonus. You don't have to. And if you do that, that's like a perfect run. This game has three levels with a screen that says coming soon. I couldn't find any microtransactions to speak of.
There is. The paywall is actually to purchase the full game.
Yeah, but
which
here's
the
thing.
Just straight Geometry Dash.
I already have that game. And the levels in Meltdown are not in the full version of Geometry Dash. And then they have another one that's like a snowy game where they're
Sub-Zero.
And it's the same thing. It's all new levels that you can't get in the regular game that I know of, that I checked. So as far as I'm concerned, there's not really microtransactions in this. It's just a mini version of Geometry Dash with brand new levels.
Game's garbage.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
Trash.
All right.
So replayability, it's 3 levels. Once you beat them, you're pretty much done. You can go back and try to get 3 coins. The music is jamming. Love the music. It's awesome, especially on the 3rd level. I found that song on my YouTube music account and liked it. So at the end of these episodes, we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down, which decides whether or not it has our seal. Scott, what did you think of this game?
Gets my seal.
Absolutely gets my seal. It's really fun to just whip out while you're waiting to respawn.
You know what else I whip out?
No. Well, it's waiting to while you're waiting to respawn in Warzone. Mark, we don't care what you think, but what we do want to know is what was this week's game?
This week, we played League of Legends Wild Rift. It was developed by Riot Games, who, let's run down the list. League of Legends, Teamfight Tactics, Legends of Runeterra, Valorant, and some other crazy nonsense that you've probably played before. It is a multiplayer online battle arena game. I got that from Wikipedia. You can't dispute it. It's etched in stone.
Yeah, Wikipedia is 100% accurate.
It was released in open beta on March 28th, 2021, and it is on the iOS and Android devices.
Now, it's been in other markets a little longer. It's been in the UK, I think China and Japan as well, for few extra months longer than we've had it.
Yeah, I believe that's accurate.
Well, I know it's accurate.
He got it from Wikipedia.
I know, because like they're already. Well, yeah, but they're already on season 2 right. of their battle pass.
Because I've been watching. I've been so excited for this game, because I've wanted a good MOBA on the phone, and I played some of the other ones that are out there, and they're so microtransaction greedy, and we'll get into how this game handles that. And so I really was looking forward to this one. So I watched videos for the longest time of some people in the UK who had got to play it ahead of time. And I'm like, this looks so good. So a couple of weeks ago, we finally got it in our hands.
So, Jeff, have you played regular League of Legends, correct?
Yes, I've played a significant amount.
Okay, so there's a fair amount of difference between this and that because of the amount of characters that are in this versus the other game, correct?
Yeah, there. I don't know the total. It's maybe 50 or so characters in this, and
68.
60?
68.
And
I believe
what we will refer to as League of Legends proper has over 100 or more. And so My favorite character to play in regular League of Legends is Nico. She's not in this game yet, but they do tend to add those characters in. The thing is this isn't going to be a like one-to-one recreation of League of Legends that you're used to the mobile. The game has been tweaked to have shorter matches and to have faster character progression and things like that. And I think the level cap is 15 in this, and I think it's 20
correct
in League proper. So there's that as well.
Gameplay.
So if you played a League of Legends or you played Dota or you've played Smite, so this is going to be our third MOBA we've done on the podcast, Dota 2, which is an awful episode. Don't go back and listen. And Smite, which is our second episode. And this is the only one we've done for a mobile device. So if you don't know what a MOBA is, you have two teams of five that battle against each other. And generally speaking, it's in this top-down isometric viewpoint, with the exception of Smite, which is like a third-person viewpoint. And you basically have these towers, like one team owns one side of the map and the other team owns the other side. And each team has several towers that need to be taken down. Minions are spawning.
Nine.
Well, they don't all need to be taken down to win. You really no, just but
there's,
need to get
there's
to the
There's a total of nine towers and a nexus.
Yeah, and so the reason you would take those down is to make it easier for you to get all the way into their base. And also, there's a difference between League of Legends and this is they don't have inhibitors in this game. What they've done is they've taken the function of the inhibitor from a regular League and just merged it together with the last towers, the last three towers. And so that way, if you get that far in, you destroy a tower. It also essentially gives you the same perk you would get in League of Legends for destroying a inhibitor. And then you get to the Nexus, which is the ultimate goal of the game, is to destroy your opponent's Nexus.
So if you destroy an inhibitor in regular League of Legends, you get increased damage and defense on your minions?
Right. You get tougher minions.
Okay, because I noticed that if you destroy all three inhibitor towers, then you get the upgraded minions that start attacking just straight out.
Yeah, so the difference in regular League is that there's towers, and then behind the towers are inhibitors that don't actually fire back at you, and then behind that is your Nexus. And to me, it's a really elegant way to streamline the process, because inhibitors, a lot of times, would even just get ignored by people playing League, because the benefits, once you got that late into the game, weren't necessarily that great. You could just go and focus on the Nexus towers. That's the other thing, is that there was another set of towers in League of Legends, the standard, where there were three towers surrounding the Nexus that were with, like, right butted up against the Nexus that you had to destroy. And what this game does is the Nexus actually fires at you. Where in Wild Rift, it fires at you as opposed to having towers. Where in League proper, once you've destroyed the towers, the Nexus doesn't actually fire at you.
Oh, that's interesting. So we might need to note there's three lanes. There's the Dragon lane, the Baron lane, and the Mid lane. And then in between those lanes, there's the jungle.
Yeah, so you're going to have... Mark's not going to talk much this episode because I don't think he downloaded the game.
I did. So my experience in playing this game, and I got to like level 7, 6, I don't know.
Before he stopped playing?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Because the game said you haven't logged in like 7 days.
Yeah, you don't have to throw my business out there like that, Scott.
Says the guy who keeps saying I watch YouTube.
The game feels very, super polished. There's a ton going on when you get into the match.
Is it too much for you, Mark?
No, let me get the good things out of the way.
let him talk.
Let me tell you.
Before you go to the bad things, right. Let me keep going, because I have a lot to say about this game. I'm sure Scott does as well.
I want to One of the things that took me out of the element of this game, and I understand this game is just pretty much League of Legends, but for mobile devices. And
what took Mark out of the game was its multiplayer.
No, it's that it to me, it should have been on a console. This game would play, I imagine this game would play very well on a console. It doesn't matter the console. It just, now, with a controller in your hand.
Riot, it is planned, right? So we're in this beta phase, with this game, and it is planned to be on all consoles. And I
would totally play this on Xbox.
Absolutely. Especially Riot does a great job. If I can use my Riot login, so all my progress I've made on my phone, I can do on my Xbox, I'm all for it. And so that's sort of the promise that's out there, is that it is going to be on console.
That would be amazing. Continue, Mark.
Okay. I played a majority of my time with the guy with the, I don't know if it was a spear or a staff.
Probably Xin Zhao.
Yeah, I think that was the guy.
Yeah, because that's who I've been playing a lot of too, because I end up having to, we'll get into the positions in a minute.
Well, I just, you know, his loadout of moves and how, you know, his character does certain things. I found myself being a support character or support guy.
Not if it's Xin Zhao, but
it may not have been that guy, but yeah. how I played most of the matches was I played with this one particular character. He had either a spear or a staff, and I did a lot of support. I cast a lot of spells, maybe. I don't know. But I found that was my tag, and that's, you know, where I did a lot of my damage, I guess. But the game is fine. The gameplay is fine. If this is your type of game, this is where all your time is spent, is this particular game. And so I'll let you get in, and I'll interject my negativity, you know, when I want. But
good. Okay, you said that's enough out of here. Okay. All right. So let's talk about, Scott mentioned the three lanes, the mid, the dragon, and the Baron lane, also known as solo, duo, and mid. So if you played regular League, the top lane is your solo lane, the mid lane is the mid lane, that pretty self-explanatory, and the bottom lane is your duo lane. And this, what the game does, is so if you're playing regular League of Legends and you start on the top side of the map, you're always on that top side. The bottom lane is always the bottom lane. And you might say, what does that really mean? So in this game, what happens is, depending on the side of the map you're on, the map will auto rotate or mirror. And so the duo lane won't always be on the bottom, but it will always be next to the dragon. So the dragon lane is your duo lane. And what that means is you're generally going to start with two heroes down that lane. Your top lane, which is normally a solo lane, is now called the Baron lane, which is where you would have a run, just a single, usually a tanky fighter kind of in that lane. And then your mid lane and your jungle is just the same. Your mid lane takes care of the middle lane, and your jungler runs around and kills monsters in the jungle and does what they call ganking, which is essentially just kind of jumping into another lane. Yeah, jumping into another lane and maybe getting a kill. The other position would be a support, which would generally go down the duo lane with whoever, what they call an ADC, which is essentially your damage carry, who would also be in that bottom lane or the dragon lane.
When you start on the mirrored one, it's nice because the game even goes, you're on the mirrored side, just so you're aware.
Yeah, it lets you know right up front. And then even if you miss that, the first time you leave your home base, there are arrows pointing to solo and duo, and they make it very clear where you need to go.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So the game, like Mark said, one of his things, this game is polished. I think it's more polished in this beta state than regular League. I think the graphics are better. Like, the character models are so much better looking than standard League. They're more well animated.
Do you think that's because it's on a smaller screen?
No, I think it's because it's a newer game. I think it's because this game was built from the ground up. Whereas League has been sort of... Right, it's not a port. League, I mean, it looks a lot the same, but it's not just the PC version of League scaled down to phone. It's built from the ground up for the phone and eventually for consoles. So I think because of that, they were able to rebuild the characters themselves, and so they have better animations and they look sharper because we have better technology now and our phones are pretty powerful, whereas League of Legends could run on just about anything. But the problem being that the graphics aren't too hot. We can get into like heard me mention Dragon Lane and Baron Lane. Essentially, these are monsters that spawn in the middle of the map, and defeating them gives you certain buffs that can sway the tide of your fight. If you're behind, getting the dragon will give you a damage boost to your whole team. Grabbing the Baron will allow you to recall faster while buffing your minions, and it really buffs your minions. They get really powerful.
Yeah, if we ever get the Baron, I'm usually pushing towers more heavily when I've got those buff minions.
Yeah, and absolutely. And then early on in the game, there's the what do you call them? The Herald. And the Herald is a big bug-looking thing that you kill, and you can send it down a lane of your choice, and it'll usually take out at least one tower, and the other team has to kind of fight him and stuff. So these are the other like mid-game objectives, because even though this is scaled down for the phone, a lot of times your matches are going to take 20 minutes or so.
Or longer.
Yeah, this is true. It could take longer depending on how well the teams are doing.
And I've been in those matches and they're really fun.
I had a match that went, I mean, it was just going back and forth. Like, and I don't even remember what the, how high the score can go. I mean, I know the game ends once you capture or destroy the other team's nexus, but like, there was a game where I had like, it was like 38-39, and I couldn't quite. So, Jeff, let me ask you this: how do they score that?
So the score is kind of deceptive, and if you go back and listen to the Smite episode, you'll hear me being the same level of confused. So I will say this. One of the reasons I've taken to this game so easily is because I've played a lot of League of Legends, where if you're new to the MOBA genre, a lot of these tropes are going to be foreign to you. There is a good tutorial system, and this tutorial system pays out some things. So you're going to want to complete it anyway, just because it gives you some currency we'll get into later. But the score you're talking about is actually just kills. So it's one team's kills against the other team's kills. That score.
Oh, you're talking about the scoreboard up on the top, Mark?
Yes.
Yeah, that score has nothing to. I mean, it's a good way to gauge if you're ahead or behind. The other thing that you would look at to see if you're ahead or behind is how many towers are standing. There's also your gold that you're accumulating while you play the game. You get gold by defeating minions and doing what they call last hitting. So your minions are fighting their minions, and what you want to do is hit them with the kill hit, and you'll get a gold bonus. And so you want to be doing that along the way of completing objectives, and damaging towers will give you gold. And so all of these things...
Don't you also get gold for defeating enemy champions?
Probably. I honestly have never noticed, because it's usually so frantic. I know you get an XP buff big time.
Yeah, you get XP, and I think you get some gold from that as well, because I noticed that so like Mark was saying with the scoreboard, if your opponents their score is higher than you, generally their champions are a lot higher than you, as well as have better loadouts purchased.
Right. So Scott's mentioning purchasing loadouts. This isn't something you do with real money. It's what you use the gold in the game that you've accumulated. Now, here's another way that this game differentiates from League of Legends. In that what you're going to do is the game has already set aside pre-built loadouts, which I recommend using if you're new to the game. No reason to get too creative. But once you start getting a hang of things, you can go in and set what you want your loadout to be. And your loadout consists of two things. Runes, well, I should say three things. Runes, which are essentially little power-ups that you can assign four of. Equipment, which we'll get into. And your spells. Your spells are usually things like Flash, which is pretty much everyone runs it. It's essentially lets you teleport a safe distance away. There's heals. There's one skill you have to take if you're jungling called Smite. I believe it's Smite. And there's a couple other ones. But those are the skills that you'll want to set on your loadout as well. Now, the equipment, you'll select what you want your final pieces to be. So the equipment is built out of smaller pieces of equipment that you buy along the way. So when you set your loadout, you're just going to pick really high-end equipment. And while you're playing the game will give you options, one or two options of equipment that you should buy next. That way, like if you're playing on PC, you can easily tab over, get in the menu, click what you want, move on. Whereas now you're on mobile, so they have to simplify the controls, and they do that by using the loadout system and you just selecting one or two pieces of equipment that you want to buy at a time. So that's where gold comes in. So essentially, you're leveling your hero, you're spending your gold on equipment, and that's going to make you powerful. Now, the other thing that differs here when it comes to the equipment purchasing, in regular League, you have consumables. You can buy potions and you can buy certain kinds of wards and things like that. In this, you have just two wards. And what wards do is, generally speaking, they're about visibility on the map because there's a fog. What do they call it? Fog of war. So you can only, when you see the map, you can see where other people are, but you can't if you don't have a fellow player in the area, a minion in the area, or a ward. And so you would use those wards to create
your towers.
To sight. Or towers, right. Now, Scott, did you want to talk about ARAM?
Yeah, I guess we could talk about that. So there's, right now, there's a mode, a gameplay mode that has been added for a brief period of time. It's called ARAM. It's a single lane, and you don't get to pick which champion you want to play as. It's automatically assigned to you. You do have the choice to switch it out for another champion, but it's also not a champion that you can just... Yeah, it's just a reroll of it. I think you get up to two rerolls while this event is happening, and then that's it. And so, but it's faster paced. Mm-hmm. There is no... Like, if you go back to spawn, there's no healing unless you die. You can't go back to spawn and purchase anything either. You have to, like, actually die to purchase anything. There are some healing items along the way on the sides of the level, but that's about it. Yeah. But it's just, it's one lane, and it's just kind of it's a cluster. It's pretty crazy.
A mess, but I think it's a good way to learn how to do team fights, because that's really what it is. And when Scott says you can't go back and heal and you can't go back and buy equipment, what that does is it allows for this rubber banding progress, where if you're winning your fights, what happens is the other team is going back to base and buying equipment and healing up. And then they come back out to fight, and they usually will beat the team that won the first fight. But at that point, you know, they buy up their equipment and they come back. So it does a good job of having these kind of fun back and forth battles. The other thing is that while the heroes are random, it will actually pull heroes that you don't necessarily own. And we'll get into owning heroes at the paywall. But if you don't have a certain character unlocked and you roll that character, you can just play with them. And Scott said that he got a character that he played with and that he was like, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I think.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to buy that character as soon as I have enough of the currency, which we'll get into in the paywall.
Yeah. And I think that's about it. I mean, there's a lot going on here, so I can understand why when Mark picks this game up, he's like, what's happening? Why are we attacking that monster? Because even though, like, this game does a better job of explaining everything better than League of Legends proper does, because for one, it's probably going to be in the hands of a lot more casual gamers, but it's still a lot to pick up. But I think it does a good job of streamlining a lot of those things to help players along the way.
Oh yeah, way better. I actually, after playing this for a few days, I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and try out Smite. And I went and loaded up in a game of that, and I still don't understand that game whatsoever. So I got trashed, and I was just like, okay, I'm not playing this anymore. I'm going back to Wild Rift.
I'll say this game makes going back to regular league hard to do for me, because regular league, I got to be at my computer sitting and looking at the monitor, and I've got to focus on all the buttons on my keyboard, and it's just easy. And again, who knows how long those matches are going to go. Whereas on the phone, it's much easier for me to, I feel like playing around a league, and I pull my phone up. Now, I will say, if you play with Bluetooth headphones, they don't agree. The game kind of runs a little more clunky with the Bluetooth signal on, at least that I've noticed. So I play with wired headphones, and that makes it run well. But it's just easier to go to this game. It's more fun to play. It's easier to get around. And the fact that you're on mobile and it's harder to type and chat, you don't have a lot of knuckleheads telling you you're trash.
Yeah, this is true.
Scott, real quick.
Dope.
The tutorial.
Hey, Mark's here.
Yeah, no, I just woke up. The tutorial in this game was very good. It's a very comprehensive tutorial. It has, I don't remember how many tutorials, but there's a lot. And it puts you in a position, explains the different intricacies that happen during each match. You talk about the dragon, you know, it tells you, hey, this dragon does this. If you were to kill the dragon, you help your team in this way. And it's the game does a good job of explaining pretty much everything to you. It doesn't, like, you know, sometimes we play these games and we're just like, I wish that would have been explained better to me. I think this game does a very good job of bringing in the casual gamer, the people that have not played League of Legends before. Me, that's me. I've never played League of Legends in my life. But picking up this game and going through the tutorial, I kind of knew what was going on. I mean, I didn't quite understand everything, but I knew enough to where I was like, okay, cool. Let me go into this match and go, you know, do this task that will help my team, you know, level up or get stronger or whatever it was. So I thought that we should mention the tutorial in this game is very good. Oh, yeah. It's comprehensive. It doesn't really leave anything out. And you after completing the tutorial, you know, you get the gist of, you know, what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I agree. And
I got to say,
you want to go
Riot.
Go ahead.
Mobile games have the best tutorials around, hands down. I mean, the Legend of Runeterra tutorial was so comprehensive.
Yes.
And even when they added new content, they added new tutorials for that specific content so you would understand how to play those types of cards. So Riot does a phenomenal job with their tutorials on mobile so far.
I would say yes, except that TFT is out there with, like, no information at all how to play.
Well, that's TFT in general, right?
Yeah. So, but it's still great. It's still a great game on mobile, and they, and we'll get into this at the paywall, but they're doing mobile gaming right, in my opinion. Also, I should mention that you want to do those tutorials because you'll be able to unlock a new character faster by doing those tutorials and getting the rewards from that mode. Also, based on what Mark said too, this is, if you're looking to get into MOBAs and you're intimidated by the Smites and the Dotas and the League of Legends of this world, this is a great place to start. I think the tutorials are great. And then even after the tutorials, if you're too intimidated to jump into a match, they offer versus AI. So you can team up with real people to play against the computer to really put those things in practice before jumping into a standard match or, God forbid, a ranked match.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's the standard, the AI versus AI, and the ranked matches. Jeff, did you play any ranked?
No, I didn't touch it. I don't really care about ranked.
I noticed.
Yeah, people just put too much, and that goes for Overwatch, right? Like, I got tired of people just taking video games so seriously. So standard is my happy place. Everyone seems to get along there.
I did do ranked. It feels exactly the same.
Now, in ranked,
as
do they have like role queue?
Yeah, there is. So in ranked, you don't like people in that aren't in ranked. They're usually calling out, I'll go mid or I'll go dragon lane or I'll jungle. And then they pick the respective character for that. And sometimes there's a little bit of a fight on it, too. If somebody grabs up jungle before you do, then you're kind of SOL and you have to pick a different thing.
Or worse, or people you will be like, well, we need first, support. And someone else is like, well, I'm going to jungle, too. And you're like, well, OK. Or worse, nobody like you. You're hovering over jungle and another guy grabs a jungle character and they haven't locked in yet. So you're like, oh, he wants the jungle. I'm a team player. I'll go play support. So you select support. Then that guy switches off to a tank to play top lane. No one's running support and you're already at it. And this didn't happen that much, but mostly because I'm always willing to fill.
Yeah. So in when the first week of this game, it didn't have it. But over the second week, the ranked actually gave you the ability to basically rank which positions you wanted to play. You do your, you know, your first that you would like to choose in the first slot, and then you go down the line and pick and reposition where you want each different slot that you want to
pick all five roles.
Yeah. So you, okay. So like, I like to go dragon lane a lot. So that was my first choice. Then I like to go mid because I like the mages. That was my second choice. My third choice was support. My fourth choice was jungle. And my last choice was tank. And so depending on what my team has selected, what their, you know, first through fifth choice is, will determine where we're slotted whenever the game starts up. And so we get a specific slot. You're shown, okay, you're going to go dragon lane or you're going to go mid. And then you're supposed to pick your respective character within that lane.
Right. Now, on League of Legends proper, you actually just pick two roles. And on that game, I would usually play mid because I like playing Nico or support. But in this game, I've been playing a ton of jungle and support because that's usually where the fill needs to be. And also because we're playing at lower elos, jungle, I think, is one of the tougher jungle and support, I think, are the tougher roles to kind of understand. Whereas mid, top, and dragon are kind of similar.
Yeah, and that was pretty much the biggest difference between the ranked and the non-ranked. Obviously, you do gain rank and go up in levels, but other than that, I think I got up to bronze one before this, and I'm got a qualifier matches to try to get leveled up to silver.
I'll probably dabble and then run right back to standard.
Yeah, well, you have to get, like, to level up to silver, I have to win one match, but if I lose three matches, I get knocked down, and I've already lost two matches because my teams just haven't been, you know, we haven't been meshing well.
Yeah. So, one last thing we should mention is that Scott and I played several times this week, and we used the in-game voice chat, and as far as I could tell, it worked pretty flawlessly.
Yeah, and it only works within parties that you're have already pre-selected. So like if you anybody on your friends list and you pull them into a game, that's the only time the voice chat works. You cannot voice chat with a random team.
Okay, I didn't know that. So I was going to say something else, but it's gone. So I think we're ready to go to the paywall. We're 30 minutes in already.
Paywall.
There is only one currency. Well, actually, technically there's two currencies. Right. There's the blue motes, which you earn throughout the gameplay. And then there was the other currency, which I don't remember what the name of it was.
Rift bucks.
Rift coins, something like that. I'll look it up, but I think it's like Rift bucks.
Yeah.
I actually bought some, and I'll get into to why. So
I have one problem with them, and I'm going to say this. The lowest tier that you can buy is $4.99, and it's like 500 Rift bucks. And it's not enough to purchase anything.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. I'm going to praise this game a lot, but I'm going to agree with Scott on this. They do the thing that annoys me greatly. Their packages for currency that you pay real money for are priced in a way to push you up to the higher tiers. So let's say to buy a hero, it's 740 rift doubloons or whatever. The purchase amount will be like $5 for 400, you know, 200 or whatever. And then
500.
Yeah. And then the next one will be just under 700 and how much you need. So if you really want to get a character.
Now, the next one was 1,000 for $9.99.
Right. But I'm just trying to illustrate a point there, because yeah. I can get the full details. Let me pull, because I got the game. Store.
Actually, you know what? There is another currency as well, and that's the Poro coins.
Yeah.
But those you get through.
And I don't earning know
not achievements, but there's like different. So there's, like I said, there was the battle pass type of thing that they have that you can purchase as well. But there was also like events passes, I would say. But there's like, you know, you do daily quests to unlock things from there. Like as you level up, like. You get things on, I think, every other level it was. I'm at, like, right now I'm at level 18. The next one I get is, like, on level 20. But some of them were, like, character unlocks, a couple other things. But
I didn't see character unlocks. I saw, like, poses for your characters at the loading screen. And
well, that's like the later levels. Oh, okay. So that's the later levels of that one. And the first few levels up to, like, I want to say it was up to level 10, you actually get a few different characters. Some of them are random. Some of them you can pick which characters. If you haven't gotten those, they might still be in there to be collected, to be honest.
Yeah. So let me illustrate what I mean to say. The problem I have with the microtransactions, and it's not necessarily the microtransactions specifically, but the way their currency is laid out. So if you spend $4.99, you get 475 what it calls Rift coin cores. And then, so a character, all the characters are priced evenly at $7, or it's not $7, excuse me.
$750 or
$725. They're all priced at $725 cores. And then you can also buy them with the blue motes that you've earned just by playing the game. And the game, and I've got 16,900 of these already, and I think I've maybe even spent some of those. So they come fast enough for me, whereas you're learning characters, so you don't really need to get everything at once because it takes a long time to learn characters. So I've never felt pressured to do that. But so let's say you want to buy one character, so you need 725. Well, the first level is $5 for 475. The second level is $10 for 1,000. So you have to go with the $10 level and you're going to have a little left over. But what if you want to buy two characters? Well, you buy you get the 475, which doesn't buy you anything. You get the $1,000 pack, but then you're like, okay, now I bought the 725. And now if I want a second one, I need to buy the $20 pack, but I don't want to do that because I don't want to spend $20. Now, let me do some math here. Because this might even be more horrible than I'm thinking. So if I have $1,000, 1,000 fake dollars, and I spend 725, that leaves me with 274. So if I want to buy another character and I want to just use my 274, if I buy the $475 pack, that puts me at 750. So that's actually not too bad. Because then you could buy a second hero. But you have to make two purchases. That's what annoys me. Why can't I just
make one? $15 purchase for two characters.
Right. But that's fine. I really don't have a problem with the pricing. But because I played the other MOBAs on mobile, and they're way more expensive for these. But if you want to get two characters and spend the least amount of money necessary, you have to buy two transactions worth of currency. Whereas if you want to make the least number of transactions possible, you would just buy the $20 one, which would leave you, after you bought your two characters, with some extra money, which would leave you with $600. So if you get the $20 pack and you buy two characters, you get left with $600, which is not enough to buy a third character. So now you got to buy another pack. This is what I hate. Like, to me, price your characters at $10. All right, fine. Like, that's a little more expensive than they are now, but at least I can buy the amount of currency I want to spend, and I don't have this leftover coin just laying there. Or I feel obligated to buy a pose or, you know, something like that. Okay, that's my complaint about the microtransaction. And a lot of games do this, and they do it worse than Riot does, but I expect more out of Riot.
And yeah, you can buy poses, you can buy emotes, you can buy characters, you can buy...
Go ahead.
I was trying to think. I know I've got some...
skins. The big thing is skins.
Yeah, the skins, that's it. But I got a free skin, and that was with the Poro coins that I got the free skin that I was telling you about, Jeff. Mm-hmm.
And so there, along with that, so the blue motes can only be used to unlock characters. So I don't actually, the reason I bought cores was to get a skin. And also, I really like the game. And I'm going to be playing it a long time. But I want to, so I want to support it. And the other reason I want to support it is because even though I just ranted about the microtransactions, I still think they're fair in that the pricing for the characters is fair. The amount of motes you get to just unlock characters going 100% free to play is really fair. And it gives you a ton of characters just out of the gate by doing the tutorial and leveling and stuff.
And there's a rotation of characters you can use for free.
Right. You get the free rotation and then there's ARAM. So really, I'm largely positive on the microtransaction. But you can't, like I said, the blue motes you can't use on skins. So if you want to get a skin,
my biggest complaint though would be that they don't have an option to purchase all the characters for like a flat rate, like Hi-Rez does with a lot of their games. You can purchase what's called a Founders Pack, and you get every single character, current and future characters, that it will automatically unlock for you as soon as they come out, because you've given the money to support the game in such a way that they, you know, deem it necessary. You know, it's like, okay, you're paying $30 for this game, even though it's a free-to-play game, so you get access to all the characters. Riot doesn't do that at all.
Right. And that's my favorite thing about Smite, and I'm not going to defend Riot for not doing that, but I also understand why they don't do it, because they have hundreds of characters, and I know Smite probably has a similar number. It doesn't bother me too much in this game, because I don't need all the characters, right? Like, playing Smite, I played maybe three different characters out of all the ones I've unlocked by buying the Founders Pack. And by the time I get bored of playing a particular character in this game, I've gotten enough motes to go ahead and buy the next one I want. So, yes, I agree that I like the way Smite does it better, 100%. It doesn't bother me that much in this game because I feel like the rest of it is fair. Essentially, the reason you buy motes is to get skins, or rift cores, because outside of a few small exceptions, there's really not another way to get them.
Yeah, and the exceptions are like a select few. You don't get to select from everything that's available as far as the skins are concerned, because there's a few skins in there I was like, oh, I would really like that one. But when I got the quote-unquote free skin, it wasn't part of the selection.
Right, it's like one of four. Like, they give you like four options.
Yeah, I think there was like 10 options, okay. And there were mostly characters I didn't play as or didn't even have unlocked. So I was like, okay, well, this one looks really awesome for Ash, and I have Ash unlocked, so I'll get that skin.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, and this is something I say about Fortnite, and I say about games that do all their microtransactions as being cosmetics. Is if you make it cool, we will buy it. And so I've been playing a lot of Xin Zhao, and he has this like John Wick looking skin where he's in a suit and he's got sunglasses on. And when he teleports back to base, his staff thing folds up into a suitcase like a spy would, and he teleports back to base. It's awesome. So the not only when you buy a skin does your character look different, but a lot of the animations and voice lines around your character change as well, which is nice, because you're spending, $10 or more to get these skins.
replayability.
All right, I'm up in Adam.
How much did you?
I'm up in Adam because this is where I can talk about all of this garbage. I appreciate the fact that you guys
term garbage.
I appreciate right, the fact
I'm going to take a nap while
yes,
Mark talks.
Please do.
No, I would say, Mark,
because
I'm going to let you say
anything,
you do your thing.
This entire,
let me say this.
This podcast has gone 46 minutes and I have collectively filled maybe two of it. You owe me time. So however,
don't worry, Mark, after I do some cutting, it won't be that long.
we talk about replayability all the time. And while the game is very polished, it looks great. The fans of League of Legends would be like, yeah, let's collect all the characters and do all the things and go down Dragon Lane and get this guy and get Saddam Hussein out of this alleyway.
What game were you playing?
The replayability game factor for this game is so low because every match takes 30 damn minutes. And it's ridiculous. I don't understand how players of mobile games can get behind a game that takes each match takes such a long time. Who has this time dedicated to their mobile device? I don't understand it. I don't understand. And that way, I don't have 30 minutes to dedicate back-to-back matches in Wild Rift. I just don't. That's why I've been
Mark
silent this entire time.
Breaks for lunch.
I don't have the time dedicated to really dive into the interesting. And I'm glad you guys do. I'm glad you guys spend a lot of time with this game. The replayability factor here is low for me is because you have to carve out such a dedicated time space. You have to. You can't just jump in and jump out. The game penalizes you. That was my rant. Carry on.
Okay. Here's my rebuttal.
All right.
How many hours do you have in Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
That is different.
Okay. How many hours do you have in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Elliot? Elliot dodges questions like this. I thought you were different. How many hours
Odyssey? Why did you just snipe Elliot?
he knows what's up.
He has done nothing. But no.
You are still refusing to answer the question.
No. So I can get in and I can get out. I can get in and I can get out of
a number.
It was like 100. It was 130 something. All right.
Thank you. Okay, so this man has no time to play a 30-minute round. When you sit down to play Assassin's Creed to dump your 100 hours in, how long are your individual play sessions?
They might not be that long. That's what I'm saying, is that if I have dedicated time, and plus, that is a game that interests me a lot more than this type of game.
Okay, that's a fair thing to say.
However,
that this doesn't interest you enough to hold your attention.
No.
I'm okay with that. But you saying that it has 30-minute rounds? Is there the fact that this game not only is replayable, but the matches last 30 minutes adds to the replayability?
No. Absolutely not. It's a mobile game.
That you want on console.
Yes. If it was on console and I had the ability to jump in and jump out of a match, or the matches were 10 to 15 minutes.
Play ARAM.
Get good.
I would be 100% behind this game because that caters to me as a, I guess, a short-term gamer in this aspect. Because when you have such a long match, there's nothing else you can do. This is not a casual mobile game. This is a very dedicated game to a dedicated fan base of a dedicated genre. I mean, this is the epitome of what the MOBA genre is. So,
Mark, how much time did you put into Geometry Dash?
Very little. It's a terrible game. It's a terrible game.
Checkmate, okay?
Because it's a terrible game.
Doesn't require... It's okay.
30 minutes.
It's terrible.
Anyone who's played Geometry Dash, it is not a terrible game. It's a very simple platformer that is tough as nails, but very doable. Now, we've already reviewed that game, and it has the Budget Arcade seal of approval, okay?
Did not have my seal.
We didn't ask, okay? I got 100% know, I noticed of those,
that. You left me 100% out of that
of boat. Budget Arcade hosts that were asked approved Geometry Wars, or Geometry Dash, or whatever it was called, okay?
Now, Geometry Dash Meltdown.
Thank you. So, regardless, and now, again, Scott is a guy who didn't play Fruit Ninja. He couldn't stand there long enough to have a download on his phone. Yet he plays this game. And I think that's a testament to how wrong Mark is. Now, this game is so replayable because, like Scott mentioned, the rank mode, the skill ceiling is high. I'll tell you how I know this. So I had earned. So one of the things you'll get doing, like, there's a battle pass we should mention as well, but we're in replayability. But
I mentioned the battle pass multiple times.
Oh, great. I wasn't listening. So what you have here is my train of thought has been completely derailed.
Good.
I'll be back. Hold on.
Okay. Well, you think about that. I'm going to say this about replayable. Okay. The cues for playing the game, I didn't sit in a queue for longer than a minute
at all. Not
that right
once.
There shows how replayable it is because you can get into games. You're not sitting there waiting to queue up into a game for a long time.
Like Smite, it would be 5-10 minutes of time just sitting there waiting. Overwatch now is multiple minutes of waiting to get into a queue. This game, it's like if I go over 15 minutes, I wonder if my Wi-Fi is down because it's so fat.
So what about, all okay, right, so
I remember, I know, hold on, Mark, before I lose my train of thought, I got it back. So what I was going to say about the skill ceiling in this game is you can play to your skill level by the characters you select. So there are support characters that are relatively easy to play. They don't require you to be very accurate with your aiming and things like that. And there's melee characters that are up close. So I unlocked a character, Katarina, who I was like, oh, this is like an assassin character. She's so much harder to play. And I'm somewhat of a mildly seasoned League of Legends player. But that the amount of characters, even though it's less than League proper, adds to that replayability. There are thousands of hours of replayability. If this is your game, I don't see why you would ever need any other game on your phone.
Not to mention trying to master all these characters. There's you would never get around to characters
it.
In the game.
You would, you would never get around to it.
So one of the elements that took me out of just regular gameplay and didn't sour me on it, but just took me out of wanting to play
your own mind.
It took me out of wanting to play more because when you, as you progress through a match, when you die or get killed or whatever, the respawn takes longer. So not only are these matches 20 to 30 minutes long, you're also, spending a lot of downtime just waiting to respawn. And
that's on purpose to make the games get to a point where you're going to be able to win them hands down a little bit more faster.
Yeah, because it actually speeds up the gameplay.
The more times that you get killed, not only the time that it takes like to play the game, like the longer the game takes, the more times you get killed, the longer your respawn timer is.
The respawn timer thing is actually tied to your level. And I may be wrong, but from my experience, I think that's the case. The higher level you are, the longer it takes for you to respawn.
Okay. Well, either way, though, when you get to the higher levels, if they wipe your entire team, they could have enough time to take out your Nexus before anybody respawns.
Right.
Good. So let them. Speed up these matches. That's what I'm saying.
That's not the nature of this game.
But that's what I'm saying. Is that if you're looking to get casual MOBA gamers, which you know I am and other people are, that's what this game was designed to do. It was meant to boil down the PC version of League of Legends and make it more accessible to more gamers. I think it's a misfire to make these games so long and have these casual MOBA gamers sitting for a minute and a half, 45 seconds, a minute, waiting to respawn back at their own base and then having to traverse the
the map again. And these are players that don't know the ins and outs of this game. These are players that are, feeling it out. They're taking, they're just trial by error type stuff. And while that can be a good thing, in my opinion, it's a bad thing here is because that turns a casual MOBA gamer off of this game. I haven't played any other of these type of games, so I don't know if this is a
the others are like the same length.
So I think
you still need that length of gameplay to still be a MOBA. Because if your towers go down with one hit and you don't have the player progression, then you don't get rewarded for being skillful and getting kills and making sure you hit your last hit. It just becomes like a foregone conclusion. So I hear what you're saying. And all of those points are valid, that those things may turn off people who are trying MOBAs for the first time. But that's going to be the case with League proper. That's going to be the case with Smite. You just don't like the genre at that point, and that's okay. It's like Battle Royale. The fact that you jump in, you die, and the game's over, and you have to start over and go back to the main menu and come back in, that's a pain in the butt for Battle Royales. But that's the genre you're playing. And so that's what you're going to run into when you play Battle Royales.
Sure.
And the same for MOBAs.
Yeah, you're going to have, I get that,
20-minute matches. It's just that's what it is. And there aren't many. I mean, Smite's on the Switch, but there aren't that many MOBAs that you can just sit in bed and play. And I think, sure, maybe you have a 10-minute bus ride or you've got a short amount of time for your lunch break, but a lot of people have an hour for their lunch break. And so that's plenty of time to play a game and eat your food. People go to bed, they're on their phones anyway. So playing a 20-minute match of League before you fall asleep is perfectly normal. And see, I can see people doing that all the time. Anyway, Mark's got me worked up.
Judgment.
At the end of each episode, we decide whether or not a game deserves our approval or not.
Let Mark
our
seal. Go first.
It requires a 2/3 vote to be approved or denied. Mark, what do you say?
If you're a MOBA fan, yes, absolutely. This game probably tickles every fancy that you have. It's, it looks great. It runs great. I didn't have any problems with anything, accessing anything. The wait times to get into a match were great. You got to have the dedicated time.
All right. So is that a yes or no?
Right.
It's a yes.
Okay.
I'll give him my seal.
Right.
It's a fine smite game. On us.
He gave it 2 stars and a thumbs up.
All the problems
gave it 3 stars
listed.
And a thumbs down. Classic Smite.
All the problems I listed were my personal problems with the game.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Smite, if you go back to that episode, you'll hear that I wasn't really a big fan of that game.
And you
however,
approved it.
Yes. However, this game gets my solid approval. I'm enjoying the stink out of this game. This game is so much fun. Definitely. It gets my seal.
Now,
Jeff,
how
you?
Many? Everybody already knows how I feel. Okay.
Well, we have an hour to back that up.
Yes.
So a thumbs down then?
Yeah. Forget about it. No, of course it's a thumbs up, but I'll tell you why in a second. But Scott, how many MOBAs had you really gotten into before this one?
None. Zero.
Exactly. So I think that kind of proves Mark's point wrong to me, because Scott's a guy who won't play Fruit Ninja, which is the lowest bar of entry of gaming possible. And yet here we have this complex game on MOBA, on mobile, that he's been able to not only play, but get addicted to and really enjoy and wholeheartedly approve of. So I think.
Well, that's a win for Riot.
That's a win for Riot.
Yeah.
That's a win for people who are mildly interested in MOBA games, because despite what Mark said, I just disagree. I think if you want to try MOBAs, start here. It's a perfect entry point, but also it has that high level of gameplay where 1,000 hours down the road, you're still going to be learning things. So this game is excellent. I was waiting for it for a long time, watching people play it. I wanted to play it while other people were playing, is what I'm trying to say.
You were green with envy because you couldn't play it.
Yes, thank you. This, if I could double stamp, a triple stamp, I would. This game wholeheartedly gets my seal of approval. I love it. And if you don't, and someone once said to me, my wife doesn't like sushi. And I said, well, she hasn't had the right kind. And he said, no, I took her and I got her the Red Dragon Roll, which is the best sushi. And she still didn't like it. I said, oh, she doesn't like sushi. If you try Wild Rift and you don't like it, you just don't like MOBAs. And that's fine. But this is where you should start.
All right. Then that means this game is budget arcade approved. Next game that we are going to play will be Crash on the Run.
Oh, okay. Yes. I'm down with this. Low stakes gaming, and I love Crash Bandicoot. Let me download it right now.
I figured Mark would like it too.
I'm still waiting to play what's that game? Toon Blast. I'm waiting to play Toon Blast.
What is Toon Blast?
Man, it's
go play some Bug Snacks or something. Get out of here.
Bug Snacks is not
all
a bad
right, Jeff,
game.
Take us away.
All right. Well, I don't know what Toon Blast is, but I do know that you can get in touch with us on Facebook at facebook.com/budgetarcade. Our Twitter and our Instagram are both at Budget Arcade. Also, we're on TikTok with all the cool kids, tiktok.com/budgetarcadepodcast. You can also search Budget Arcade Podcast in twitch.tv, and you'll find us there as well.
And if you'd like to support the show, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/budgetarcade. Music is provided by Stimage, and you can download his mucus.
His mucus? Is that
download
the second
it.
Time you've done that?
Yes, download his mucus.
Ah, yes! You can. He's not download. Faking that, folks. That's a genuine mess up by Scott. Yes!
Yeah, you can download his music at metroidmetal.com, and game on.
Podcast Network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.